podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to
talk? Come after the ball.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, across the pond at XRPRadio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom. And then on the west coast of the United States on RootaRoo Radio.com and right here on our home station, buildtheScene.com. This is episode number 546 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight is Robert Wagner. Yeah, I messed that up. Wagner. Do you know that name?
I do. Tectonic Plates.
That's right. Let me try that again. Robert Wagner of the Little Wretches. I can't speak tonight. The Little Wretches. I'm going to start that over. With us tonight is Robert Wagner of the Little Wretches. Those of you from the Pittsburgh area probably recognize that name from the 80s and the 90s. And if you've been paying attention in 2020, you might recognize it again. What's up, Robert?
Yeah. Oh, man, thank you for having me. Yeah, I hope people who are around today start to recognize the name again. Trying hard to get our names on the landscape, you know. I hope in about 3 years when people start looking at, like, you know, American songwriters and they look at Steve Earle and they, you know, look at Marshall Crenshaw or something like that, they say, oh, there's that guy from Pittsburgh, Wagner. He's really good too, you know. Just want to be in the game.
So I, like a lot of my guests, found out about you from Michael Stover of MTS Management. And he lives maybe 5 miles from me, and I've never met him.
Yeah, that's it's amazing how it's it, you know, it's it, it could be like that anywhere. When I was much younger, I had some friends in who were living in the Homestead area, and they were originally from San Francisco. And I bumped into them down on Fifth Avenue in downtown Pittsburgh, and it freaked them out. They're like, Pittsburgh is so small. We have never in our lives had a chance meeting with somebody we knew in San Francisco. It happens all the time in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, well, the flip side is you could live, you know, 5 minutes from somebody and never come across them.
That's true. And depending on what year it was, you could be 2 inches from them and not see them because of all the smog.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, I've heard about those days. I don't actually remember them, though.
So you said that you listened to a few episodes. So I love catching guests off guard with some of my questions. We'll see if I can find one that you didn't hear.
Okay.
Let's start to get to know you a little bit as a musician.
You're scaring me. you told me to be on my toes. You know, this is not, you won't hear the typical questions. And now it's like, oh no, what's he going to hit me with?
I'm going to start off with the Dave Grohl question. I've been trying to get Dave Grohl on the show, but he keeps ignoring me. I even emailed the Foo Fighters management team and they didn't even respond. But, the question is, if you've ever watched the Foo Fighter video on YouTube, not the official videos, but the ones from concerts, usually they are, you'll see someone holding a sign up saying, I want to come play guitar, or I want to play Hero, I want to play drums, whatever. And he'll make a big deal out of it, and he'll bring the person up on stage and say, you better not suck, and then they usually don't. My question is, if you were in that situation, you were out in the crowd and you were holding the sign up, who's your Dave Grohl? So what band is on that stage that you want to join?
See, you know, I heard you ask that question to other people. I don't want to join anybody's band, you know. The whole thing that I do, I mean, I started this band because I don't fit in with anybody. You know, I built this band around my thing. You know, I'm not that good. You know, I can play a little bit. But look, if you're going to go for it, if there was a band, my favorite bands, but they're all dead now, man. All my favorite bands are dead. I was like, oh, I would have loved to jumped up with the New York Dolls or Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers, Walter Lure and the Waldos, the Patti Smith Group. You know, I could probably still hang with the Patti Smith Group because she's doing more acoustic-y stuff. And they're still pretty free-form and exploratory. None of them need me. You know, if I could have bragging rights to say Ray Davies called me up on stage or Pete Townsend called me up on stage, somebody, you know, but I couldn't hang with those guys. They wouldn't need me. They're so good on their own. What could I possibly bring? You know?
Well, along those lines, let's say you're out on tour and and I'm tagging along with you, what would the soundtrack be in between shows? So what would we listen to on the tour bus?
Oh man, well that, you know, that would depend. That depends, because I, you know, I have pretty broad taste, and it depends if I'm getting ready to do an acoustic show or what. Like today, last couple of days, out of the blue, I started listening to the album Brain Salad Surgery from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and I'm thinking, wow, if Keith Emerson was a guitar player, he'd have an awful lot in common with Pete Townsend, you know. And I've been listening to that. They just did the reissue of Lola versus Power Man and the Money Go Round, you know, the 2020 mixes. And so I got that, you know, that just became I pre-ordered it and became downloadable on December 11th. So I listen, I'm the kind of guy, I have a really hard time appreciating new releases because I'm jaded. I've listened to so much music. I translate all of my new experiences through my previous experiences. So like it was to show my age, it was hard for me to appreciate Nirvana. Cause when I heard Nirvana, I was like, listen, man, I heard Iggy and the Stooges. What's this? So the guy can sing. He's got a good Alice Cooper type scream. I get it. I like his voice, but I don't see what he's bringing to the table. I've heard this before. Now, in retrospect, I can look at Nirvana's catalog and see, oh, okay, they were loved for a reason. But I generally discover an artist and then listen to everything they ever put out. And, you know, I have some pretty cool playlists on my phone. I have, you know, one called Are You Feeling Lucky Punk? Well, Are You? You know, it's all my favorite, like New York underground punk stuff and London, 1977 London stuff, you know, and I spend an awful lot of time studying artists with a huge body of work, like as singer-songwriters, Steve Earle, John Prine, you know, guys like that. Jonathan Richman. I don't know if you're into Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, you know, just spans the spectrum of possible styles, but they have this thing. Or Neil Young's another one that he has a thing. It doesn't matter whether he's playing piano or playing acoustic guitar or playing with Crazy Horse, he's got this thing. Neil is always there. So that's kind of some of the stuff. And of course Patti Smith, man. Patti Smith group, she's the rock poet.
Speaking of playlists, First Angel Media, which is a Pittsburgh-based music media company that I happen to be vice president of, one of our writers and / photographers wrote an article this week about he was looking at an advent calendar and it got him thinking, and he ended up making a playlist on Spotify of songs that meant something to him. So like he did a little thinking back on his life and linking events with songs. Yeah. So my question is, are there some songs that you link to things that happen in your life that you'd be willing to share with us?
I have some pretty dark moments in my life, you know, so that's, and I can say that, you know, look, I'm a kind of a religious person, but you know, no religious people ever bailed me out of trouble, right? You know, there've been times when my family wasn't there. There've been times when my friends weren't there. There've been times when nobody was there, but I always had music and I always had my guitar and I always had writing, you know? So I could say you hear that Velvet Underground song, her life was saved by rock and roll. My life was saved by rock and roll. If not for rock and roll, there's no way I would still be here. And there's a lot of songs that are like, you know, soundtrack of my life type songs. You know, I could tell my autobiography through songs. But I can I tell you one particular anecdote though?
Yeah.
You know what cutout albums are?
I do not.
Okay. Back when people mainly listened to vinyl records. Records that didn't sell in the warehouse, they would take a little snip out of the cover, out of the jacket, and they would convince record sellers to buy them for like, you know, 5 cents a copy. And then they would throw in some good stuff too. They'd throw in some hits so that when people went to record stores and they'd flip through what was called the cutout bin, they would look through that stuff because you never know what you would find. So, you know, I just hated everybody and everything. I went to Bethel Park High School, which back then was within walking distance of South Hills Village Mall. And I just remember, you know, and back when I was there, there's like 1,000 kids per class. So there might have been 5,000 kids on our campus. So I just left and I went over to the mall and they had a Woolworths, you know, like a, you know, a discount department store that had a record section. And they had an album called Unicorn by Tyrannosaurus Rex, which is T-Rex while they were still acoustic, and The Who Sell Out by The Who. And I'd never heard either one, but I knew who The Who was, and I knew who T-Rex was. So I bought those albums for like 99 cents a piece with, you know, because I never bought my lunch. I always kept my lunch money in my pocket. And so I had enough money to buy those two albums. And at the time I was living with my grandmother, and I remember taking those albums, and she saw them sitting on her dining room table. She looks one, takes one look at Mark Bolan, says, "Ooh, hairless Joe." Because, you know, Mark Bolan, the T-Rex, has these beautiful curly hair. And I just remember from that point forward, this is it, you know, music. Forget everybody. You can all, you know, you can all go wherever you're going to go. Music is what I'm going to tune into. This is what's going to get me through. So, you know, I've and then weird songs too. You know, you just name some odd things like Johnny Horton. I imagine when you're talking about Johnny Horton, you're talking about like the Battle of New Orleans, that song in particular. Yep. You know, he has a couple others.
War of 1812, I think the other one.
Yeah, 1814. You took a little trip. Yeah, that's about Battle of New Orleans. He also has North to Alaska.
Yep, I recognize that name. My dad had a cassette, and he would play it in the car when we would go anywhere, and that's one of the albums that I equate to him. That's why it made the list.
Yeah. well, when I was you know, like the first band I was in was part of the early punk scene in Pittsburgh, which as it turns out wasn't that big of a scene and mainly involved kids from CMU and University of Pittsburgh. And there were a couple of hangouts and a couple of houses, but it eventually kind of revolved around the Electric Banana. And then from like the whatever it was that I was doing, the band I was in was called No Shelter. And then we went really deep into like experimental jazz, you know, like improvisational stuff. And, you know, we took it seriously. That band was called ICU, Intensive Care Unit. I was like, okay, it dishonors Pharoah Sanders and John Coltrane, who've spent their lives mastering improvisational jazz music, for me to go out and squeak on a clarinet. What is it that I can really do? I was like, okay, I can write songs. I could write. So I need to take songwriting seriously. I remember going to Garbage Records, Jerry's Records, when they were still in Oakland, up, you know, going upstairs and thinking, okay, I need to learn the art of the song. And one song that I found on like multiple albums, a song called How Insensitive. It's got this Brazilian kind of chord change. And I ended up with a version by Tony Bennett and a version by Petula Clark. And that's the kind of stuff I was looking for. It's like pop songwriters, you know, pop singers that were doing great songs. And I wanted to study the songs. Like, why did they pick this song? What is this song doing? You know, learning the art, learning the form. Now, there's nothing in my catalog that's going to sound Brazilian or sound like How Insensitive, but that's a song that, you know, when I want to turn somebody on and say, you know, if you're serious about music, you need to broaden your horizons. The stuff you grew up listening to is not enough. You know, you got to take this seriously. I mean, and to me, I take it seriously, man. I take Lou Reed as seriously as I take Shakespeare. You know, Patti Smith, I take her as seriously as, you know, name it, Emily Dickinson. You know, that's Walt Whitman. Put him up there against David Johansen, anybody. You know, that's, I love this stuff.
Here's another eclectic song that made my list. The Twist, but not by Chubby Checker, by the Fat Boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard that.
Are you familiar with the Fat Boys?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I mean, you might tell by looking at me, I'm kind of old. I remember when the Fat Boys came out and when people first started imitating them, you know, when kids would first start doing the human beatbox. But I never heard the Fat Boys do the twist.
Yeah, it features Chubby Checker. He's on it. But
they did
a movie called The Disorderlies. And the Fat Boys are the main characters. And when I was in elementary school, I went to a birthday sleepover and we watched that movie. And that's how that one made the list, because I had such a great time at that party. And of course, Johnny Cash is on there, but I didn't do, there's so many Johnny Cash songs that you could put on a list. But I did Hurt, which was a cover, because I also like the original version. So I was able to combine two of them together. So I really did some thinking on that. So I'm going to, as a challenge, I'm going to put that out to anybody who's listening. Try making a Spotify list that's the story of you. And you guys can blame Craig Ferry for putting that into my head. It's a great article and an awesome idea. Yeah. All right. So let me see how we're doing time-wise. Let's do this. So we're going to play your song, All of My Friends, tonight. What can you tell me about that song? You can tell me a story about recording it. You can tell me what it's about. You can tell me what popped into your head and got you to write it. Whatever you want to tell me. It's kind of like MTV Storytellers.
Okay. Well, yeah. So it's hard. I'm saying this with a smile, but this is going to sound pretty dark, I think. A lot of my real friends, I've had a lot of members of the Little Wretches are, you know, in heaven or in their graves, you know, and a lot of people that I grew up with are, suffer from mental illness. You know, I work with at-risk kids. So, you know, I'm around some pretty dark stuff. When I was in college, I had cancer and I had an economics professor, a Marxist economics professor, who visited me in my hospital room every single day. I guess his office building was between his office building and his home. I was in Montefiore Hospital. He would stop off and visit me every day. It's, you know, so he was really like an uncle to me. His name was Dave Houston. And, you know, he was a Marxist. And at one point he told me that he'd sent away for his FBI file long time earlier, and it finally came. He through the Freedom of Information Act, he got his FBI file, and he said that there were things in there, like dinner conversations that he'd had while he was at restaurants, and it creeped him out, because it's like, what were they bugging his table, or was somebody he having dinner with
an FBI agent?
Yeah. So that's where the line, all of my friends are on somebody's list of undesirables and anarchists. I mean, I know people who've done some pretty crazy things, and very few people know how crazy they were. But you know, I know about it. It's like, wow, we're the luckiest people on earth. If there was actually justice in the world, imagine how much trouble we would be in. there's a line in there about lesbian couples and their turkey basters. You know, like, you know, I have friends who, way before it was cool, you know, were having, you know, same sex couples that were finding ways to have children. And all of my friends are on somebody's list of undesirables and anarchists. It's not even safe to admit that you're one of my friends. If you're going to hell, why not go to extremes? So it's just a collage of one-liners and couplets about real people who I love very much, who've never fit into anything, never give up.
So it's almost like a montage of your friendships over the years.
Yeah. And those who are still alive, I hope they hear themselves in there and don't feel offended. If there's a heaven, and I believe there is, I hope those that are up there smile every time they hear the song. So I hope if you're going to play it right now, I hope there's some smiles up in heaven.
All right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment and play All of My Friends by, are you going by your name, or are you still going by Little Wretches?
Well, most of the gigs I play are solo, so I try to keep my name out there as much as possible. So, and there's so many Robert Wagners. I'm going by Robert Andrew Wagner and the Little Wretches. So when I play a solo gig, which is mostly what I play, it's Robert, Andrew Wagner, and the Little Wretches. When the real band is there, and I'm getting away with no Robert, Andrew Wagner stuff, because everybody else in the band, they can, you know, I could play second fiddle to them, you know. But I'm the one who's out here making it happen, you know.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a moment and listen to the song.
Terrible secrets hidden up in their attics. Closets full of skeletons and old bones. They only bring out to play with when nobody's home. All of my friends are on some kind of list of undesirables and anarchists. It's not even safe to admit that you're one of our friends. All of my friends know cause and effect. They're notably known for abuse and neglect. We're natural targets, we're perfect to blame. None of my friends ever runs out of shame. All of my friends are taking some kind of rap. But your biggest weapon is your handicap. Nothing much good ever happens to none of my friends. Between the dust and the ether, walking in circles, living alone. I'm stuck in a ditch, but I'm a believer. I don't know much except right from wrong. Oh, what comedy. Oh, what torture. Oh, what stories we will tell someday, someday. In grace, we're marching like sheep to the slaughterhouse blade. We're the prize winning herd at the Macy's parade. None of my friends ever made the first team. If you're going to hell, gotta go to extremes. Gently down the stream, though none of my friends. Vanguard of vultures. Rarified air. With a high priest of culture, we kneel down for a prayer. For the lesbian couples and their turkey basters, and the amateur, a connoisseur, the cyanide tasters. All of my friends, the wind scattered and blown. Get too close to the foot of the throne, but they're the best people I've ever known. The carbon a niche between the dust and the ether, walking in circles, limping along. Stuck in a ditch, but I'm a believer. I don't know much except right from wrong. Comedy. Oh, what
15 and things are changing. I graduated, congratulations. But when you try, things will be alright. Ooh, wait. Deal, congratulations. When you try, things will be alright. Ooh, wait, oh, hey, oh, wait, hey. Yeah, things will be okay. As long as you remember, things only get dark at night. Will be all right. Hey, ooh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, hey. Yeah, things will be.
How about that one?
That's good. That's good. I love the smiles on everybody. I remember when they took it, I wasn't too impressed, but I really love that picture now.
So which version of the band is that behind me? I noticed that you
that's,
had...
That's the version that recorded the albums called Undesirables and Anarchists and the song All of My Friends. That those are the guys right there. You know.
Do you want to name some names?
Yeah, are we live here? Am I talking to the world? Okay, the guy on on my left, on that would be your right. That's Mike Madden, the drummer, and you know, a lot of your listeners probably don't remember the club, The Decade, but it was a legendary rock club in Pittsburgh. Bruce Springsteen played there, you know, U2 played there, and the Little Wretches played there. And when we finished a set with Mike Madden, the sound man, who had heard everybody, said, "Where'd you get that guy? He's the best drummer that's come through here in months." Like, oh, well, he's from McMurray area, Peters Township. He went to Bethel Park High School. That's Mike Madden. That's who plays as good as Max Weinberg. And then next to him, the woman with the big laugh in progress, that's Rosa Colucci. She writes, I think, part-time still for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If she was only good at one thing, she would be known by every person. I mean, she would be super world famous. She has an incredible voice and just a natural knack for harmony and percussion. You know, when I hired her, when I auditioned her, I told her, "Your job is to make me sound better. You know, I can play guitar, I can write, I can sing a little bit, I can write. Your job is to make me sound like I can sing." And she just brings a fire to the stage. John Carson, next to her, he's the bass player. And the guy who's, there you go, you move the mic, and that's H.K. Hillner. He was the piano player. H.K. Hillner loves two things, the Rolling Stones and Gustav Mahler. You know, He's the one who insisted that this band, the Little Wretches, were virtually kaput at that point. And it was HK who heard Rosa and I performing together acoustically. He says, "Oh, no, 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 no. We're the Little Wretches. I want to play piano with Rosa. We're going to do your songs, you know, and we're going to be the Little Wretches again." And then John Carson, who's, you know, I mentioned was the bass player. He's also, he teaches art, I believe, for the Pittsburgh Public Schools. And these guys, I don't even know if you're interested in this, but this album, Undesirables and Anarchists, we went into Dave Granati's studio and we recorded this thing live. I have a lot of experience in the studio. We're going to overdub vocals. I'm going to double all the guitars, right? But his thing was, if you guys can know the songs well enough to track them without headphones, just set up like it's a live show. By the time you're done setting up, I'll be ready to record. And we were playing these songs live. We were practicing, you know, so we went into this session knowing Rosa, even I think she recorded percussion in the control room with Dave Granati so that she could give him, you know, that was good enough. You know, I don't know exactly what they talked about, maybe tomatoes and Italian cooking for all I know. But, you know, we finished the first song. We look at each other's like, you know, because what you do is if you make a mistake, you punch in your mistake or you say that track wasn't hot enough. Let's cut it again. Every song on this album was a first take, punched in nothing. Nobody does that. And if you listen to it, you're not going to hear like, oh, they should have done another take on that. I wouldn't change a note. And then, of course, then we went back, doubled the guitars, added the vocals and all of that. But the basic rhythm of the band, all of those tracks, that's the way the Beatles did it. That's the way they did it in the old days. You know, you step up in front of the mic, you knock your thing out. And those guys did it. And you don't know who they are, but show me another band that is capable of doing that. Those guys could do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Because I'd already, by the time we cut this, that's like, you know, our 10th album. So I know my way around the studio a little bit. I know how I work. Prior to the show, we were talking about our familiarity with children who have ADHD. I think I have a twinge of that. I don't have the patience to be in there taking recuts or to be, you know, one of the things they do in studios now, they copy and paste. You like do six vocal takes and then you'll take, well, this line has a lot of personality and that line has a lot of personality and we'll paste them all together like it's one track. I don't have the patience for that. And for that matter, I'm not that good of a, now Rosa is a good of a singer that she could do 30 takes and strive for perfection. Me, one or two takes, that's as good as I'm going to be in the ballpark and that's it. But if you get the band hot and the hotness of the band, that really is going to revolve around the drummer and the bass player, you know. And just the energy, like HK, who's just insane on the piano, you know, and it's not a prominent, if you listen to the recording, the piano is going to be underneath the guitar a lot, but the energy that they bring, that's the way for me to record. You know, we could do a whole session and it'd be a waste. Say, okay, we just wasted 3 hours in the studio. None of that stuff is any good, but this bang, you know, we might have been there 3 hours, you know, to record the basic tracks. Nobody does that.
I am on the last episode, Eric Roger and Bobby C from the band Royal Honey were on, and they're working on a project that Dave Granati, actually the Granati brothers, actually played a little bit on or sang on. It has to do with Save Our Stages, and I don't want to give too much away. But I figured I'd mention it here since you brought up his Granati studio. In fact, the 9 o'clock meeting that I have after this is with that group of people.
Wow. So, yeah.
So if with 10 albums, this might be a tough question for you and not too far fetched. Let's say there's a, apocalyptic event that happens on Earth and wipes out most of the human race, and there's a handful of people that survive, and only one song from every band survives this event. Which of your songs should survive and help with the repopulation of Earth?
No, well, the song that pretty much defined the band, you know, I mentioned that I was in something called No Shelter before this came together. You know, my song, like my theme song would be the song Born with a Gift, which, you know, it's kind of a weird song. Now, if you go back to the original version, my brother who co-founded the band with me plays violin. And so I've heard it described as kind of weird violin pop. I've heard other people describe it as like a cross between John Lennon and Neil Young. But it's a great song. And a lot of people who know us, that would be a signature song. And for me, you know, I hope that when people find us, you know, as somebody who discovers music, you know, there's bands that have been around forever. And then I finally hear a song, I connect with it, and I go back and I get their whole catalog. You know, maybe this album that's out now is not going to be the album that people connect with. But if it is, and they get in there and they explore the catalog, they're going to find there's a whole world in there. And that's really what I hope for. But our whole world, the cornerstone is the song Born with a Gift, and everything else builds off of that. From, you know, like a worldview point of view.
If you could meet your musical idol, but you could only ask that person one question, who would you meet and what question would you ask?
So you're limiting it quite a bit. Because what I would really want to do, I would want to do like a listening session. I want to sit down, play them one of their songs and say, tell me what I'm hearing, because there's this magic that happens, right? I know there's only four instruments playing, but it sounds like 10. How did you do that? You know, what am I, that's really what I'm curious in, is that creative process. Or a song like, I've been listening, I mentioned it's like the 50th anniversary of the song Lola by the Kinks. And if you listen to that, like, okay, obviously Ray Davies probably wrote it with a guitar. How did that electric guitar emerge? How did that bass line, how did they decide to put the percussion here? You hear a song like Hey Jude by the Beatles. It's like the most perfectly arranged song. Nothing repeats. Every time they come around, something's a little bit different. That's what I'm curious about. I would want to pick their brains about. So you tell me one question. Like my one question is, tell me how you did it.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
How about this? This question, the Diesel Beast question. There's a band in Denton, Texas named Diesel Beast. And I'm sure you can guess that they're an acoustic pop band, right?
You're being ironic, right?
I am. they are a classic metal band.
Okay. Because there was that band over in France that got shot up at the, you know, the, what were they called? The Eagles of the Death Metal.
Right. And they were an acoustic. Yeah.
Okay. So with this band, they're beasts.
Yes.
And they're Diesel.
So the question I asked them, and their answer is the reason I dubbed it the Diesel Beast question. But the question was, if you could play with any band in the history of the world, and choose your favorite venue to do it at, who would you want to play with, like open for or have open for you, however that would work out, and where would you want to play that show?
Oh my! Well, you see, I might be bending the rules on this a little bit, but are you familiar with Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review?
I'm familiar with Bob Dylan.
Okay. Well, at a certain point in the 70s, when he just decided that he started out as an itinerant musician and he was back and he was going to be on the road, and he was going to go on the road with kind of like a circus, you know, he was going to. So anybody who had any kind of musical connection to Bob Dylan was invited to be on the tour. And I think the tour might have gone on for a year or so. And so people would come and go. But so Bob Dylan would have his spotlight moment. And then, you know, Roger McGuinn and Joan Baez, different artists who had a, you know, I think Ringo Starr was there for a little while. But anybody who had any kind of Dylan connection personally or musically was part of that. And like, man, that would have been a scene to be around. I mean, poets like Allen Ginsberg and Gregory Corso, Mick Ronson from the David Bowie and the Spider from Mars, people like that. And that's be like, okay, man, I don't know if I could hang with Dylan and everything, but I have a couple of songs that could cut. You know, I could have a couple of songs I could hang with Dylan on, I could hang with anybody on. And they're not all musical virtuosos, although his basic house band, those are guys who are like virtuosos, so they could play anything with anybody. You know, like G.E. Smith from the old Saturday Night Live band, you know, who played with Dylan for a long time. You know, he could play lead guitar for anybody in any style. You know, he had his preferred music, but he could play. So, you know, I feel like, oh, man, with a band like that, I could jump out there. I could throw out, I could play Born with a Gift and they would know exactly what to do. Did I cheat? Did I cheat with that one?
The only thing you've missed was telling me where you would do it.
Where I would do it. Wow. It has to still exist, or can I go back in time?
You can go back in time.
Okay.
When I give you the Diesel Beast question, you'll understand. all bets are off with this one.
Okay. Well, if I could go back in time, man, I'd go to Max's Kansas City in New York City. The classic, you know, us being Pittsburghers, we have some connection to Andy Warhol. My dad, I do believe, grew up in the same neighborhood as Andy Warhol and was the same age, probably stole his lunch money. So, you know, the Max's Kansas City was a hangout for the Warhol crew and home, you know, Springsteen played there. Patti Smith played there. You know, it was like a home base for the Velvet Underground. So, yeah, man, I want to play Max's with Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review.
Hey, so here was Diesel Beast's answer. So you understand why it's named after them. They want to play at Stonehenge with Dio.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, that they were they took that question that, just like earlier, you took that question of mine and you made it better. I asked that and that was their answer. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I responded, nice. Well, maybe that's what Stonehenge is there for. Maybe it's there to bring Dio back.
Yeah, that's probably they've been plaguing themselves trying to find it, and the answer's been right under the nose all this time.
But
it was prophetic when they built it. That was prophetic because they knew the Dio was coming.
Yes.
You know? So Dio was the fulfillment of a prophecy, and Stonehenge was made to bring him back. You know, it's very deep and complicated.
I hope they write a song about it. In fact, I might message them and suggest it. I have one more question for you. This will probably hopefully be the easiest one for you. It's kind of a two-parter, though. Where can people find you online? Because, of course, ultimately, we want to get you some more fans. And what's up next for the Little Wretches?
Oh, well, online, you know, just go to our website, littlewretches.com. And, you know, I've got a Facebook page. Everybody knows I'm supposed to do the Instagram and, you know, all the social media platforms. If you look for us on Spotify, you can find us. If you look for us on YouTube, you can find us. In fact, on YouTube, back when we were in what would have been considered our heyday, there's dozens of hours of live stuff from back before YouTube existed, when we had people who followed us around with pretty professional recording equipment because they thought this is worth documenting. This is going to mean something someday. So there's a lot of live footage of us on YouTube. You know, just search the Little Wretches. And, you know, I have a Facebook page, but it's part of me. You know, Robert Andrew Wagner has a Facebook page for the Little Wretches, you know, kind of rinky dink. But you know, anybody's looking, we're on, you know, if you go to Amazon, go to Apple Music, wherever you get your music. But people, come on, man, I don't make any money. If you stream a song, download the song, man, download the song. If you download a song for 99 cents, I might get 80 cents of it. If you stream the song, I don't get nothing.
You know? I think it's .0003 on Spotify for every play.
Yeah, it's but you know, look, I'm that's not what I'm in it for. You know, I'm throwing in my two cents for whoever will appreciate it. I'm gonna play. If I only get to play to the spiders in the corner of my room. I'm playing to the spiders in the corner of my room. You know, I can't live without this. I have to do this. And next, you know, I really want to come back to live music. You know, you might notice I'm holding my guitar right here. When I leave.
They can't see it. Go ahead and hold it up a little. There you go.
Martin D35. Johnny Cash played one of these. But, you know, so I want to return to live performance. You know, electric guitar, I play a Les Paul or a Melody Maker. I'm a Gibson dude through a Fender amp, but and Martin acoustics. But I want to get back to live performance. And you know, our record right now, I think, is on like 100 stations. And traditionally, I would be performing in every town where we're getting airplay. And then maybe some of the local journalists would be giving us the write-ups. You know, all those things that kind of go together. And at shows, probably 20 or 30 people would be buying CDs, you know, and that makes it self-sustaining. So that's the way it's supposed to work. I want to get back to live music. And then I have about 3 albums worth of stuff that I've demoed up, but haven't like officially recorded, because, you know, this thing that we did, Undesirables and Anarchists, I don't think I can reproduce that. That might be as good as I can get with that approach. So I have a batch of songs that I'm ready to record, but how I approach it, especially with the way weird things are now, I might have to layer it. You know, I might have to track to a, you know, I might have to play to a click track and then add it. It's not the way I would prefer to do things, but I can't wait, man. You know, this, things might never go back to the way they were, so I got to deal with the way things are now. But as long as I got this thing, you know, and a spare set of strings, I'm good to go. You know, I could go down to the trail and busk, for that matter. You know, I'm gonna play live for whoever will have me.
See, that brings up one more quick question. How do you feel about the live streaming that has been going on?
Well, I hate it. I for one, I don't have the patience. Like, when I've tried to watch people's live stream shows, this is horrible. People, forgive me, but, you know, I got my laptop here, my phone here, you know, and I'm playing chess and I'm checking emails. You know, it's so different, man. You go to a live show and there's the people watching aspect of it. That's part of the whole thing. And that kind of, everybody says, ooh, all at the same time, or everybody starts to, all of a sudden the fire catches, you know, and the spirit goes through the room. That does not happen in these streaming things. I live right across the creek. You know, you should see where I live. Bald eagles fly by, foxes crawl through my yard. I live right across the creek from the site of the Philadelphia Folk Festival, but they punked out and they went virtual, you know, digital. You could buy a ticket and watch their concerts virtually. And, you know, the great people like Richard Thompson, it's like, oh, come on, man. You know, this is watching TV. I'm not here to watch TV. I've been to live shows. There's magic there. There is not magic in these virtual things. Now, if we were working with filmmakers, if it was some kind of multimedia production where real visual artists and real sound artists were somehow collaborating, maybe we could make something exciting happen. But this is not for me.
I watched a lot of it, because I missed the live shows, but you're right. It's definitely not the same. Although a lot of the ones I would watch are bands that, like, I know personally. So there was still that attachment for me, which was, you know, that was almost enough. I'm like, you know, yes, this isn't what I want, but no, I'm still getting to see Billy Postal from Doppler Effect play, you know? So,
yeah, look, man, you got to get it. You got to get it. It's a, you know,
if you're not familiar with Doppler Effects, you should check them out. They are a Southern rock, almost walking the line of country. They covered Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire on one of their albums. That it's affect with an A, though. It's not the scientific term.
I've heard the name. I've read the name, but I don't think I've actually listened to them.
Yeah, they're, not only are they a great band, but they're a great bunch of guys. And I'm not going to tell that story on the air again, but cut it short because they did mention I have a meeting. I apologize. This has been episode number 546 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Tonight we featured Robert Andrew Wagner of the Little Wretches. What I'm going to ask you guys to do is go check him out at littlewretches.com and make sure you check us out each and every Friday at BillDeSean.com or PARockShow.com. And you can hear the episode on all these streaming stations that I mentioned and also 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri on Sundays. So we're going to ride off into the distance, play a little bit more of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer and metal. I sometimes forget that I added that. And when you hear John, the American Hill Jack Lane, you'll know that the show is ended. My name is Bill. This has been episode 4546 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. We'll catch you next time.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.